Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
It's 8 o'clock in Chicago. The Braves lead by two and the pitch. Swing and a drive that's hammered toward the gap. That ball is in the basket. A three-run homer. I'm pretty sure the strategy for the mound meeting was don't throw it down the middle of Markakis, but that looks like exactly what happened, and the Braves have broken the game open.
Middays on the Score.
So how do you know what the strategy was, Chip? Maybe it was throw it right down the middle of Markakis.
Oh, Chip knows. That's a guy who asked for the strategy before the game. He's sitting down and asking, hey, how are you going to pitch Markakis?
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Everyone loves riding the Zamboni on the ice in front of the Chicago Wolves crowd. To sign up for your spin on the new Turtle Wax Icebox, visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. Yeah, Nick Markakis among those not happy.
No, he's not thrilled. Not thrilled at all. And this is going to happen like every day for the next couple of weeks. Players, each and every one of them, are going to be asked by their respective press corps, hey, what do you think about the Astros? And whether you're a guy who's been around forever, like Nick Markakis, or whether you're just coming into the league, this is a situation and a cheating scandal that you can just tee off on if you want. I mean, this is just easy, found money for any player who's got a problem with the way the league has handled it, with the way these players have handled it, with the way the union has handled it. It's a feeding trough. Nick Markakis was upset, and I mean, this is just, he just leveled the Astros and Major League Baseball here.
It angers you, especially from a guy who has played the game the right way his whole career. No shortcuts. I know how hard this game is. I know how hard preparing for this game is. And to see something like that, it's damaging to baseball. It's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. It's wrong. They're messing with people's careers. I know we're all competitive and we're out there competing, but there's right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it. And I 100% disagree with the way they did it. There's a lot of people that were hurt by it. And it was wrong. And I think the punishment and everything, I think just everything has been taken, everything's been handled the wrong way. You've got two guys that are sitting at home that you can kind of, give them a little bit of leeway. And they're not in the game right now. And then you got the players who did it who are scot-free. I know there's a lot of political stuff behind it, but it's wrong. You don't want to see that. Everybody's out there competing and trying to do things the right way. And when you got guys like that, it's pretty sad. Those guys have a lot of talent over there, but to take it to that level is wrong. I know as players, we do not agree with what they did. We don't stand behind them, and never will we support them for their actions. And I think they got off pretty easy. They're going to be able to go out there and compete with no ramifications at all, which is wrong. And I think the commissioner completely handled it the wrong way. But that's the way he did it, and that's the way we got to live with it. But I know a lot of people disagree with him, and the way he handled this situation, he should be embarrassed of himself.
Well, no one's going to top that.
Okay. Braves outfielder Nick Markakis.
Nick Markakis.
He'll be, I don't know, what is he, the sixth in line or something like that to take the commissioner of Major League Baseball to task for how he handled what he's handled?
It's like the people lined up in the plane and airplane.
Oh, my God. That's exactly what this is. Yep. Just shaking him to try and stay
get a hold
elite
of yourself.
This is unreal. I don't think that Rob Manfred should be long for his responsibilities. I mean, I understand that at the end of the day, the commissioner of a league is the guy who finds the bucket, fills it up with whatever water the owners are asking him to carry for them, and then takes it around to everyone who's willing to watch the sport. I mean, I get that. But when you've got a union and a CBA coming up here, the union, which is upset at itself, I mean, that's what Markakis is talking about here. He's got to break bad on fellow union members, which is an issue when it comes to negotiations. And I wonder, I know Evan Drellich wrote about this for The Athletic the other day, I think it was yesterday, about how difficult it would have been for baseball to suspend Astros players for partaking in the banging scheme, as Major League Baseball named it, because the Astros themselves, Jeff Luhnow, didn't pass along the memo, like literally didn't pass along a memo that said, hey, don't cheat. So by not doing that, by failing to pass that around, technically speaking, Astros players weren't told of their responsibility to not cheat, which is just, it's arcane. It's preposterous and dumb.
The way it was hidden is evidence that they knew they weren't supposed to be doing
it. Of course it was. Of course it was. But you get into this situation where Markakis is probably one of a plurality of baseball players who would love to look at the union and say, you know what? Pass. The rights that we've got and we've bargained for, all this kind of, pass and suspend Jose Altuve and his stupid ass tattoo. Suspend Carlos Correa.
He said they deserve a beating.
Yes. So like you got to know he's lining up for a suspension for these guys.
He meant a literal beat. Well, and now you can bet on the, as you said, the over-under of how often they're going to get hit.
I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating.
What's behind you? It's your worst nightmare, Mr. Big Time Beating. Wham, bam, snap, throw punch. Down you go. Oh, but it continues. Bam, bam, bam. Whack, whack. When's it ever going to stop? Survey says not very soon.
So you ask, if you're Rob Manfred, what can you do right now? Well, none other than Jay Zawoski's favorite baseball writer, Joel Sherman.
Joel!
Came up with a plan. And this is what he calls the mulligan.
Can't do it.
He says
no, we can't talk about this.
He said that if he really wanted to do it, here's a way to swoop in and say, all right, Chris Bryant, Mike Trout, Nick Markakis.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Justin Turner. Don't forget Justin Turner.
Justin Turner lit the world on fire yesterday. He said, here's what you do. It's his plan, not mine, okay? One, a three-year ban for any 2017 Astro hitter or pitcher from appearing in the All-Star game. He said, not every hitter on the team participated in the scheme. The pitchers obviously didn't hit, but the pitchers benefited from the hitter's success by being backed by run scoring.
Right.
And the message is, moving forward, if your team is cheating, say something, even if you're not directly involved.
Yeah, okay.
Or else you two will be punished.
First reaction is it's the All-Star game who gives, but at the same time, these guys have they have bonuses attached to All-Star games. It hits them in the pocketbook where a fine or a suspension couldn't. Okay, I'm on board with step one.
It says Players Association probably fight back because the contracts contain All-Star bonuses. MLB should be up for the fight and force the union into picking a side. Because the rest of the union members who aren't 2017 Astros don't want to see these players enjoying further rewards.
No, and it's a bad, right? it's bad to break in the union, but I think they would do it pretty quickly. Players who wanted these guys hurt.
Two, no member of the 2017 Astros should ever receive a postseason share again.
Should ever walk again. Okay, that's going to be really difficult to do.
The playoff share pool not decreased one penny. It just means a bunch of players who cheated their way to a title and a World Series share check would never receive another. More money for the non-cheaters.
Okay? Do we know if playoff shares are part of a bargained compensation piece?
I don't know exactly. But
or is that part of like...
I don't know.
Is that just the way players do things? You get X amount of money and the players decide to split it up?
They vote on who gets it.
But is that vote part of a contract?
No.
I don't know either.
Part three.
You got to talk to a clubby.
For 2020 and 2021, in their 81 home games, the Astros have to bat in the top of all innings rather than the bottom. Thus, they get the home field edge of the fan base, but not last licks. It acknowledges the sign-stealing was done mainly at Minute Maid Park. I think now we're getting to, like, the Steve Martin. And the letter M should be stricken from the alphabet. 4.
Wait. Okay. Why?
I don't know. It's Joel Scherf.
Why? No, no, no.
He's rolling.
Why are crazy punishments off the table?
They're not.
They shouldn't be. They absolutely shouldn't be. All of this nonsense is collectively bargained. All of this stuff. The memo that had to go around, all these. Why shouldn't? I mean, if we're going to take Rob Manfred to task, and I have, and Justin Turner has, and Mike Trout has, and you have, all of everybody. Why shouldn't he be allowed to think outside the box and throw something out?
There's a lot more here. Just wait. There's more to come. 4. No home playoff games for the next 3 seasons. There have been some calls that, like in college, the Astros should be banned from the playoffs for a period of time. But then why would they call up prospects and start their service clock?
Or pay anyone.
Why would the best pitchers push themselves in September? Houston can still get into the tournament, but the players don't derive the benefit of a home crowd. Ownership doesn't get the benefit of gates. So I can imagine the AL playoff teams that don't face the Astros thinking it's an advantage for the club playing Houston. So be it. There are no perfect punishments. The key here is to hurt the Astros tactically and in the ownership's pocket. 5. Houston does not get to host the All-Star game for the next 15 years.
That ought to be just done.
Ownership did not receive nearly enough penalties for overseeing such a rogue organization.
Or if he sells the squad.
6. No international signings for 2021 and 2022.
This is what I was very surprised that this wasn't part of the actual and initial punishment. I know that there is red tape that you got to cut through here in order to do that, and they took the first and second draft picks in the next 2 years from the Astros. But the fact that the international money wasn't touched at all was fairly crazy to me, especially since Major League Baseball worked so hard to bend teams over the fact that you're going to have these limits on international spending. I was stunned by that.
And this is to keep them from rebuilding easily. 7, suspend Jim Crane for 2 years. Manfred exonerated Crane the first time. Even if Crane was oblivious to what was going on, which he claims, he hired Luno, he hired Hinch, he created the tenor of an organization that claimed it had zero tolerance for domestic abuse, and then traded for Roberto Ozuna. So forgive me if we don't believe Astros leadership's word that now it will have zero tolerance for any further cheating. Crane ran the organization that not only hired and elevated Brandon Taubman, but put out a malicious, incorrect press release to defend him. If Luno and Hinch are going to be punished for horrific oversight, the ultimate leader has to feel that wrath, too.
Not to mention the Yuli Gurriel, Yu Darvish stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all of that happens under his watch. How do you suspend an owner for 2 years? You just can't come around the ballpark? Like, is that no phone calls, kind of the same way you'd suspend a front office guy?
Or you could force him to put his share in an escrow. In a trust of some kind where he's literally suspended from being in ownership.
That would be interesting.
Right? You could do it financially where you could say...
That's the only thing he's going to listen to.
That you will be reinstated at some point, but you will not have voting rights on the board, et cetera.
That's the only thing ownerships are going to listen to is that pocketbook hip check. Because $5 million, I mean, that's what the Astros got fined. $5 million is the maximum amount you can fine somebody. And you heard Chris Bryant yesterday, we played on the show... When he found out it was $5 million and that was the limit, his response, well, that has to be changed.
Think about it, too, that if we're already talking about how badly Manfred screwed this up, knowing what we know, and the drip, drip, drip of after-the-fact information from Jared Diamond and from The Athletic and so much more reporting, if you're the Red Sox now, you're toast. Because there's no way that Manfred is going to want to have to revisit all of this stuff and be criticized for not going hard enough. That's probably what's delaying the decision on the Red Sox, right?
I think that what's delaying the decision on the Red Sox is Rob Manfred determining just what he wants to put out there. I mean, maybe that's a different way of saying the same thing, but there is no doubt in my mind that the commissioner's initial report on the Astros put out what they thought they could stomach. Then they realized, oh, crap. We have a bunch of really interested journalists in this big, big story, this massive cheating scandal, the size of which is, I mean, it's right up there with every other one, every other big cheating scandal you've ever read about. It's that kind of size. And a whole bunch of really good writers asked some questions, got some answers, and came up with more that Major League Baseball didn't have the stomach to publish themselves. That exact same thing will happen with the Red Sox. I have no doubt about it. I have no reason to believe anything that comes out from the commissioner's office at this point is the full and honest truth.
We got some NFL quarterbacking news that we have to get to. And next up, we're going to give away an entry into the 2020 Charity Poker Championship that is coming up a week from Thursday at Galleria Marchetti in Chicago. You want to be a part of a great night? We are going to give away a seat valued at $275 coming up next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Funny how a city that was ravaged by wind is now saluting a breeze.
And apparently they will continue to do so, at least for one more season.
Yes, the salutes continue. Drew Brees on Instagram posted a photo of mountains abutting the sea. He's apparently traveling. And he writes, "My feelings about the 2020 season. I look forward to the grind and the journey, for the reward at the end will be worth it. Love you, Who Dat Nation. Let's make another run at it." So, Drew
now,
Brees.
Now, they are calling him Breezes. The city renamed Drew Orleans.
God, somebody let that on air. Oh. Anyway, Breeze is back. He's coming to the Saints, which means, as we were reading in Peter King's Football Morning in America column earlier on in the show, which probably means they're not paying the high price backup number to Teddy Bridgewater, which I think as a lot of people were thinking moves him to the free agent market. Mike Florio was on with Mullion Hall earlier this morning. We'll have him on tomorrow as well. And he was saying that the $30 million number that had been going around for Bridgewater, I don't know, last night, yesterday afternoon, fake news, not a thing. So Bridgewater's still out there as a potential starter. And so is Taysom Hill, if any team wants to take a leap at a potential Taysom Hill contract.
No, thank you. When you went through his injury history.
I'm good on that. He had four season-ending injuries in 5 years at BYU. That's too many season-ending injuries in 4 years. I'm sorry. That's he's got a lot. He's got a lot of tread on the tire. Plus, he's probably not that good a quarterback. He's attempted 13 career passes.
That's the other thing. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball, the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Penn State, and Minnesota. Single-game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Once again, Connor, I would request a number.
Ah, a solemn task. Four. Maybe four again.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Caller 4 to the contest line at 312-591-6700 wins a coveted entry into the 2020 Charity Poker Championship on February 27th at Galleria Marchetti in Chicago. All proceeds benefit Camp One Step. The Children's Oncology Services compete for nearly $15,000 in prizes, including our grand prize of a seat at the 2020 World Series of Poker main event in Las Vegas. Visit camponestep.org for details. It's going to be a great night. And we want you to come and hang out. If you just want to spectate and eat and drink, that's a $75 ticket. And you think of where you can go in the city and have all you can eat, all you can drink, high-end, top-shelf stuff for $75 just to get in the door. We got a little blackjack thing going on.
That's my plan. That's okay. The Hey, How's Your Father, I think, yeah. Entry fee, right? It's the all blackjack. You can eat, a little bit of scotch, a little bit of blackjack, the all-you-can-everything. That's my speed.
And we got a couple of high-roller seats still available if you're a serious player and you want to start at the high-roller tables. The winner of each high-roller table goes directly to the final table. And even if you're knocked out as a high roller, you can get back in general population to be part of the regular tournament draw.
Well, see, that and buy I did back not in. Know.
Yeah, if you actually do the math with the rebuys and the add-ons and all that, that's your best bet for the serious player. And there will be special McAllen and cheese pairings for the high rollers.
So you know, if you had a buddy, you know, a friend of yours, maybe you work with him every day, who's interested in heading over to the event, hanging out, and doing the whatever, but not playing the poker, the McAllen still, it flows, right? I mean, it's an all-over-the-place kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can get myself just a little Has Your Father, a snifter.
Yep, there you go.
Good.
Also, a little bit later on in the show, we still have that pair of tickets to see The Masked Singer live at the Rosemont Theater on June 5th.
May or may not be Mike Mulligan. We don't know.
I'm still, because I was really intrigued by the idea of Jameis Winston saying, all right, I'm going to come here and I'm going to sit next to Mitch, but I'm going to show Matt Nagy that I have a better innate understanding of what defense I'm looking at than this guy does. And ultimately, that's going to lead to me getting my chance at resurrection as a Chicago Bear. Complete redemption.
Here's what he wrote. Here's what Peter King wrote about Jameis Winston. It's dangerous to consider giving up on Winston, the number one pick in 2015. Dynamic passer. Arians and offensive coordinators may think they can fix the seemingly fatal carelessness that ails Winston, who's thrown more picks than any quarterback since entering the league. Almost every miscue for the first 3 months of the season was defended by Arians, however. In December, things changed. See, the reason I bring this up is because so many people have asked, well, what did you expect Matt Nagy to say about his quarterback? Well, what did you expect Ryan Pace to say about his quarterback? Like him or not, Bruce Arians watched his quarterback play, watched the end of the season press conference, doubted the guy. He told you what he thought. Maybe that's easier for Arians to do because he knows Winston is a free agent. Maybe that's easier for Arians to do because Jameis Winston doesn't just come with 30 interceptions, 30 touchdowns last year. He comes with a pretty horrifying personal track record.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's easier to do because he's Bruce Arians and that's just, you know, he's set up an edgy kind of loud temperament as NFL head coaches go. You know, he's more toward the Ryan side of things than he is the Matt Nagy positivity side of things, I guess.
Yeah, the old-fashioned prickly side, yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got a little bit different. People are I think, inoculated some to his being kind of an ass about some things, right? In a good way. Kind of truculent and definitely edgy about stuff. Even still, you're talking about a franchise quarterback, a guy drafted in the first round not all that long ago, whose overall arm talent really can't be denied. It's just he makes so many what-the-hell-are-you-doing throws.
It's not just the
what
number.
What-the-hell-are-you-thinking situations.
It's the eye test, too. It's not the number of picks, which is obviously alarming. It's actually what those picks look like. It's the what were you seeing? What were you looking at? How could you not have seen that guy? How did you not know that guy was breaking on the ball when he was breaking on the ball? Why would you put it there?
Right.
If you've watched it, how many times do they say, and we've got a game break here on Fox, and it's that again? Well, there's a shock.
He throws so many pick sixes, too. Jameis Winston is a career 61.3% completion percentage.
That's great.
An 86.9 passer rating, 121 touchdowns in 5 years, 30 interceptions to 16 games last year. Teddy Bridgewater, a 65% completion percentage, 88.3 passer rating, 38 touchdowns in 44 games, 25 interceptions in 44 games. Which guy do you really want?
I think Winston's a better quarterback than Bridgewater. Bridgewater's one of those
in this league.
Bridgewater is one of those like efficiency you to death kind of guys.
Are you going to win because of Teddy Bridgewater?
No.
I don't think you do with this version of Teddy Bridgewater.
I'm being selfish here. I should disclose it. Just the idea of Winston with all the baggage that he brings and all the controversy and personality and the issues that he brings, just having him here would be great to see who falls into the Jameis camp.
Which
how quickly somebody plants their flag as Team Jameis.
Which means you can almost, because it would be all of that, you can almost immediately rule him out as a Bears quarterback.
You're probably right.
You almost immediately.
For, me expressing that is probably hurting his chances.
It's absolutely here, right? Hurting his chances. You're killing the chances.
I'm hurting
Illini
up on the recruiting.
It's done.
This is pharmacist Jewel, who's usually on the text lines, but is on the phone today on the Bernstein and McKnight show. Jewel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
Good. The reason why I'm calling in, I think I texted you guys yesterday, but I really wanted to speak to what a complete tool Rob Manfred is. And that anybody who thought that he was going to handle this scandal with any kind of leadership or any kind of dignity that the game really needed and required, could have seen this coming. And I had watched this documentary on Netflix. It's called Screwball. And it's not the greatest one. It's pretty ridiculous, but what it does is it kind of revels in and takes on how badly the whole Anthony Bosch and Biogenesis scandal was handled. And at the helm of all of that was Rob Manfred. And it shows that MLB tried to get, as they started their own investigation with a bunch of old cops that used these tactics that were just ridiculous. And the clowns that were part of the scandal and who they were involving, it was such a mess. So I would direct you guys to that, okay, if you get a chance, just to see what a complete, and Bud Selig had put him in charge of this, and this is what he came up with. And it's so absolutely... It's mind-boggling. So, bear with it. Go through it. Try to see through, because what you're going to find is that it's going to just show how absolutely ludicrous and how inept this guy is.
Okay.
So,
it's a good rec. Appreciate it, Jewel. Screwballs.
I remember when it came out. It's the one that has the kids in place of the actual people, right? I mean, it's their kid actors who do the roles of or perform the roles of guys like Tony Bosch and
ridiculous.
Alex Rodriguez, I think.
Yeah,
right?
The director was on with McNeil and Parkins, I think.
I want to say that's right. Yeah. Billy Corbin, right?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember when this came out. I remember taking a look at it and going, okay, need to put it on the list, and then just never quit, like everything on Netflix. Like, I didn't get to it.
Yeah, I would think that Rob Manfred sort of defaulted his way into the position. Why do commissioners get jobs? Usually because they think they can win a collective bargaining war. That's why. Because the Harvard-educated lawyer was the guy that they think could hold the line in a labor war, and they look past everything else. But I thought Mike Florio has been brilliant. He talked to Mully and Haw about it this morning, and he wrote about it yesterday, where Mike Florio made the point that if an NFL commissioner had something comparable to this on his watch, and his comp was a team having hacked the opposing headset communication for an entire season that resulted in them winning the Super Bowl because of it, mm-hmm, that commissioner, that NFL commissioner, would be out of a job, because the outcry, especially from the gambling community, would be so powerful. He said this is evidence of how much people care more about football than they care about baseball, that there aren't enough people, aren't enough fans outraged about this, and or there isn't the same kind of gambling handle.
Right.
That it just in football, this would topple a commissioner, and in baseball, it's not.
I think it's still May, but you're right to bring up, Florio rather, is right to bring up the gambling aspect of this, because there aren't as many gambling engagements in the NFL, right? There are 17 weeks of that. Well, plus playoffs, obviously. But there's just a few opportunities, which mean the handle is so much bigger. I mean, there aren't that many people relative to the NFL betting on a Sunday afternoon game at guaranteed rate. That's just the number of people involved in that financially just isn't quite the same. Thing of it is if Rob Manfred is, and here's where this is headed, I promise you. You're going to get more and more outcry from individual players saying that Astros should have been suspended and that punishment should be heavier. That's why Joel Sherman's writing where he's writing. And Rob Manfred is eventually going to come out and say, well, our hands are tied by the collective bargaining agreement. Our hands are tied by the union. Our hands are tied by the fact that Jeff Luhnow, the general manager of the Astros, didn't pass along the email that said, don't cheat. So we couldn't. We'd never win this fight. And that's starting to come out. Evan Drellich already wrote it. And there's nothing wrong with Evan writing it because it is true. But if you're going to hide behind the fact that, our hands were tied, what could we possibly do? That stuff should have been out there immediately. That should have been riding right along with your initial findings of the Astros case. The fact that you can't do things because this, that, and the other has to be front, right in front of what you're talking about here. Otherwise, you're going to deal with this news cycle after news cycle of every player reporting to spring training, looking at the commissioner and going, this ass hasn't punished these guys. He hasn't done anything. And in fact, by saying, oh, don't hit Astros players, or oh, we can't go any farther, they feel that the Astros are being protected from their own wrongdoing. You've now got this horrible situation in this game, which will continue to flame throughout all of spring training. And the game's not going anywhere, and it's probably got the same amount of issues when it comes to a collective bargaining agreement in the next year or two that it always did. But you are on fire as a sport.
That's spoken like somebody who genuinely cares about baseball.
I just do, man. I just do.
I get it. It's real with you in a way that it may not be for some others.
I get that.
And especially for people your age. I mean, you're really the rare bird.
Yeah, it's true.
To be 35 and have this,
four, but yeah.
34, this kind of investment, this kind of feeling about this particular sport.
It's just there, man. And everybody gets this. You know, whether it's Jay in hockey or whether it's, you know, football, whatever your deal is, there's something about a game that just kind of gets into your bones, right? And baseball's been the one that I've never been able to avoid. I've always been in love with it. It does everything I needed to do as a sport. And the fact that the stewards of this thing are just watching it all set on fire and going, that's fine. It's fine. What were we going to do? We couldn't do anything about it. Yeah,
I wish you would have known earlier, but we really didn't know. You had one job. Your one job as a commissioner, best interest of the game, protect the game. Protect the game. And they say, well, we really couldn't see this coming, and then we didn't really understand how it just do your job.
So now I'm going to go watch. Now I'm going to go watch, and everybody's going to be going, oh, I wonder if that was a buzzer. You know, somebody sits on a breaking ball in an 0-2 count and pounds it out to left field. That's probably a buzzer. That's not fun either.
When we come back, we have a pair of tickets to see The Masked Singer live at the Rosemont Theater on June 5th. Also, let me ask you this question. Longtime baseball writer Joe Posnanski put a question out there via Twitter, and I know this is an unscientific poll, but it received 4,350 votes.
It's a good number.
He asked, do you believe that the Astros used a buzzer system to steal signs? You could answer absolutely, probably, probably not.
Or I'm Rob Manfred and I'm not listening.
Or no way. There's those four answers. So I want you to think about what the preponderance of response was. From this unscientific Twitter poll, do you believe the Astros used a buzzer system to steal signs? We know that Chris Bryant believes they did.
You're damn right.
And he made it very clear.
Oh, and text in, by the way. You know, I know the poll's already closed, but over the next break, text in. Let us know what you think. What was it? Absolutely not?
Yeah, absolutely, probably, probably not, or no way.
I want to know.
Do you really think the Astros used a buzzer system?
You got a couple of minutes. Let us know what you think. We'll give you the results. We'll give some stuff away as well. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Connor, give out another number.
Three.
One, two, three.
Caller three to the contest line. 312-591-6700 wins a pair of tickets to see The Masked Singer live at the Rosemont Theater on June 5th. So Joe Posnanski asked the following, and thanks for the texters just exploded the text lines.
Oh, we love them.
Hundreds of texts coming in. I would say the preponderance that I can tell just glancing at it was absolutely.
Yep. There were a couple probablys.
There was a hell yeah. There was
and a lot of swear words.
And a lot of swearing out there.
A lot of swear words.
Those a-holes.
Yep.
But yeah, so per Joe Posnanski's poll, 39% said absolutely. 47% said probably.
What?
12% probably not, and 2% no way. That means 86% of the 4,350 respondents believed the Astros used a buzzer system to steal signs. Put me down for absolutely.
I'm a probably, and I hate that I'm a probably. And we're going to go through a whole baseball season where some 70% of people think that it is essentially a rigged sport. God, that's frustrating.
I know, it bugs you. This segment is brought to you by Campland RV. RV buying made easy. It's Campland RV's annual RV open house, February 21st through 23rd. Don't miss your chance to receive discounted RV show prices on select models. Call them at 219-787-1040 or visit their website at CamplandRV.com for details. Campland RV, RV buying made easy. Thank you to Mark Schanowski for joining us today. Thanks to Zawoski, Camp, and Diaz for producing, and to everybody who participated. When we come back, we're going to say good morning and into good afternoon with Lawrence Holmes. Transition coming up on The Score.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.